Want to have safe, kinky sex? Make sure you make your way over to AdamEve.com. Adam and Eve has over 12 million satisfied customers worldwide. Everything from the newest vibrators to classic movies. When you're on AdamEve.com, make sure to enter in the promo code HUSH50. That's H-U-S-H 50 to get 50% off almost any one item and free shipping. Do I need to say that again? Free shipping. Make sure you have your kinky, safe sex needs satisfied by visiting AdamEve.com. Sex, dating, relationships, and all things kept on the hush. Welcome to Hush, the podcast that brings you the shit you love to hear. Let's slide into the episode. Dropping that sexiness for your ears as we enter another volume of Hush. Good morning, good evening, good night, whatever time it is, wherever you're listening. I'm glad you're listening. My name is Kim, and I am your host of the Hush Podcast. I'm very excited today to bring you an exclusive interview. Today I'm featuring my guest, Jason Kortmach, a sex and relationship coach. In his own words, he says, "I did not set out to become an intimacy coach. I was tired of having the same experience and experiencing similar life patterns over and over again, like letting my insecurity hold me back from taking action and waiting way too long to let someone know I like them. For far too long, I kept doing the same thing, thinking I was protecting myself from getting hurt, but in the end, it always made things worse. One day, scrolling through YouTube, I came across this video, How to Show Desire, with Celeste and Danielle of the Somatica Institute. It changed everything for me. While watching this interaction, I realized that I had never had this kind of interaction or this level of sensuality and desire in my relationships. I wanted to experience this kind of connection in my relationships, so I said yes. And that small decision changed everything. As I kept breaking out of old patterns and doing something different, I discovered my authentic self. Self-growth is a journey, not a destination. For me, learning never ends." And with that intro, and without further ado, let's jump into the episode. This is Kim with the Hush Podcast. I'm excited today to introduce my guest, Jason Kortmach, to my show. And I want to go ahead and start off. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? I know you sent me a bio, and I have that recorded already. But in your own words, what do you do exactly?
Yeah, I really help couples and individuals really accept themselves and learn the tools to build intimacy and learn how to really share authentically with their partner. And so I really help people through practice learn intimacy, because it's one of those things that it's an easy word to say, but you know, to do it is a whole other thing.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been doing that now for a little over 2 years, and it sparked my interest. I'm an identical twin, and so it's like growing up around the age of like 6th or 7th grade, we were just butting heads, and I had the realization like, oh, I can't replace you, and so we have to figure this out, and that kind of really helped us kind of figure out how do we work through our differences, and from there, it really kind of transformed to when I was dating my 20s of like, oh, I have no idea how to create intimacy with these people I'm dating, but I knew the level of intimacy I had with my brother, and then that's what really kind of sparked the question of like, how do you create intimacy with someone? Because then you have to uncover all these things, like, are they gonna, you know, if they knew everything about me, would they still love me? Or like, there's so many intricacies that happen in intimacy, and so it's just really kind of sparked my interest and kind of evolved from there for basically wanting to grow for myself and then help others.
As you've gone on this journey, what challenges do you face as a sex and relationship coach?
challenges I face would be, I think it just depends. The biggest challenge is just awareness, you know, getting people wanting to talk about it. It's one of those things that between intimacy, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual, it's really getting the awareness out there of the differences. And so it's getting people comfortable sharing, I think, is the biggest challenge. But once people open up, it makes things, everything, easy.
I did want to touch on something that I saw on your website. So on your introductory video, you mentioned that you want people to discuss sex as easily as saying that they want waffles for breakfast. I love that, by the way. That really stuck with me. So in your words, why is it important to remove any shame when discussing sex?
Yeah, to really help people get the level of freedom to really kind of express themselves. Because it's preferences. And, you know, if we remove the shame, then it's a lot easier to communicate, it's a lot easier to hear, and it's also easy to kind of remove the stories we tell ourselves of, like, oh, if my partner doesn't want to have sex right now, maybe they don't love me. You know, it's so easy to wrap or add extra meaning to when a partner says no that's not necessarily there by making small assumptions or using it as a way of misunderstanding. And so, by removing the shame, it adds the clarity needed to really understand that, you know, we have, both people have individual, and just because one person wants sex, the other person might not want right now, but it doesn't mean that they don't love that person any less or more. It's just not in the capacity. And so it really comes back to learning about ourselves and learning about our partners and communicating it, and then at the same time, finding those places inside ourselves that need love and attention. I've read something, and it's like the structure of some relationship structures, like monogamy, can hide relationship problems. And I feel like by removing the shame around talking about sex can really open up healing and greater levels of self-awareness, but also there's an extra layer that happens when you have to share it with someone else. It's when there's that extra layer of, like, oh, I'm being seen. It's one thing to write down, it's one thing, you know, first step to admit it to ourselves. It's a whole another exercise to have to ask or share something with a partner, but that level of vulnerability creates tremendous intimacy, and it's something that happens thousands of times in relationships. It just goes unnoticed sometimes.
One of the things that caught my interest in particular with looking at your website was the focus on disappointed emotions. So I have to state, this is an area of improvement for myself. If I feel like the slightest rejection to, like, one of my sexual desires or fantasies, then I tend to close off. So I was curious, how do you coach people through disappointed feelings?
That's a great question. It's a lot about practice. Like anything, like working out, like building the muscle, building, I think of it as like a well of being able to sit in disappointment, because it is such a tender thing and it can really feel very intense. And it starts with, you know, starting with small disappointments, or really, in my practice, I do a lot of, through the relationship lab, through practice. Like, it's one thing to talk about it, but it's another thing to know what that feeling's like and have the awareness of when am I saying yes, when I really want to say no, because I'm avoiding creating that feeling, or trying to avoid that discomfort. But that level of discomfort opens up new levels of authenticity, and it really helps relationships, because if the other person knew that we were saying yes when we really want to know, they wouldn't enjoy it as much either. So it's like it adds this whole another layer of connection. Because now a partner can really trust her yes. I'm like, oh, I really want to do this because I have the capacity to really say no. And that really kind of starts to change things. But like you mentioned, it is very hard and takes a lot of practice, especially when we're being rejected around a desire or a want. And I also help a lot with teaching people, how do you hold the space to hear and support and celebrate their partner when they are courageous and share a desire that maybe is something that I'm not interested in or they're not interested. There's a way to really stay to boundary leveling and also celebrate the compassion and the courageousness of a partner so that it creates an environment to make it easier for them to share something else next time. Because we get far more of what we want by asking. And it's that that kind of breaks that stereotype of, you know, if you love me, you know what I would need. But that assumption sets us up for disappointment and failure. And we get far more pleasure and far more what we want by asking. And part of asking is learning how to sit in the discomfort of them saying no.
I do have a question on that. So that's leading into my next question. You mentioned like the discomfort, and I wanted to bring up, is the first session usually awkward or tough for some people?
It can be. I find it usually goes one of two ways. Either some people find it very liberating because some people have a very easy time talking to strangers about sex desire, and then the other side is sometimes the first couple sessions goes quite slow because it takes time for someone to get comfortable and I basically meet people where they're at and go at whatever pace. Everything I do is to in service to my client's growing edge and whatever that is, and we go at whatever capacity, whatever speed is right for them. So that's kind of how I approach that, because we grow our capacity by verbalizing, by honoring it. And I find that our capacities grow faster by going up to the edge and then holding and not pushing through, but by really honoring it and being aware of it.
And I do want to touch on another thing that your introduction video on your website mentions is a relationship lab. How does that work?
Yeah, so relationship lab works in a way of showing up vulnerably. So two-way communication in terms of sharing feelings, sharing energy, and really being present with how we're showing up in this present moment as two people. And so the easiest example I can give is like flirting. Like talking about flirting doesn't help anyone, but practicing how to connect to erotic energy, how to share that erotic energy, and then giving feedback of how the erotic energy kind of lands on the other person. By having that felt experience, then it's far easier to learn about how to flirt. Because once we have a felt experience, we have that reference point that we can always come back to.
That makes sense to me. There's a big thing that I want to touch on, and it's what I noticed that you want us to get in touch with, and that's our core desires. How do we discover that?
Oh, that's a great question. The core desires, there's so many different ways to explore it. I think of core desires as the feeling that we want to have during sex. Most people can have better orgasms by themselves, but when we're in partner connection, our core desire is that feeling that we want to have, and it's different from everyone, and there's a lot of different ways to figure out what it is, but it's usually tied to the feelings or the experience we didn't get as a child, or because the core desire develops at a very young age, well before we learn anything about sex. And so it's really, I find it fascinating, the work, because it's something that doesn't get talked about enough, but it's like, if we felt abandoned as a child, then maybe we want to be chosen or worshipped or desired by our partner, because having someone show up in that way kind of soothes that old feeling. And so we don't get to choose what our core desire is, just like we don't get to choose our trauma response. It's one of those things that gets wired in the brain at a young age, and the key to it is it's the shortest pathway to arousal. So I know when my core desire is hit, it's the fastest way to arousal. And most people only have a few different things, but it's really interesting, the layering effect of core desire and then how it kind of really touches into some of those core wounds or experiences that we did or didn't get as children, which I find really fascinating.
So when we learn our core desires, how does it help us have better sex?
It helps us have better sex because once we have the awareness of the feeling, then it's easier to ask for it. And so it's like positions can change, the type of sex can change, but if we're getting that feeling, that's what really makes the difference between average or okay sex to like amazing sex. It's when we really get that core need met. And it's also part of the reason why, you know, let's say threesomes are hard, because now you have three different people with three different core desires. And so it just takes more communication. And so it's just an interesting aspect of self-discovery, but then also learning how to communicate to a partner. Because it, you know, if our core desire, if someone's core desire is to be chosen, like there's so many different ways that they can get that met in terms of, is it through showing up? Is it through gifts? You know, it plays out different ways, but the first step is to really identify what the core desire is and then learn all the different ways of how that gets activated.
I do have some questions about can you tell me about the Somatica method? I have no idea what that is. I just started to look on the website as I was preparing for the interview, but can you tell me more about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, the Somatica method is really revolves around the relationship level in terms of learning through doing. And so it's basically showing up in a mutual way. And so like one of the easiest things I can think about with the Somatica method is really showing up in relation to the other person. And so that's with like bringing mutual vulnerability, mutual erotic energy, and really kind of learning by doing. Because when we show up that way, we can get the feedback needed. Because, you know, when we ask a partner like, oh, it didn't work, sometimes we don't get the feedback because they're not used to giving feedback. So the Somatica method is really about learning by doing, of really being in the present moment, learning how to connect to your erotic energy, uncovering what our core desire is, and then really removing shame and kind of clearing the lens of perception that really, because everyone has all kinds of things we pick up in terms of, you know, whether it's social shame, religious shame, family shame. So it's like one of the pillars of all of the work that I do is helping people remove shame. And that's by celebrating where they're at and normalizing desire, sex, through connection and through practice.
And so you mentioned practice, and your website does state it's close on. I just want to go ahead and emphasize that. But I want you to touch on, what does a typical session look like?
Yeah, so a typical session kind of looks like, you know, in the early stages, figuring out what someone's goal is. Let's say it's better sex. And then it's really kind of looking at, like, what are their growing edges? And with everyone I work with, the first thing is really helping, like, how embodied does someone, are they connected to the erotic energy? Do they have the capacity to turn on their pilot light? Can they bring their erotic energy to kind of feel full body pleasure? Because we need to be like fully embodied, because our bodies have tremendous wisdom. It's like one of the things I do with a lot of clients is help them map their triggers in terms of, how does our body let us know when someone's getting close to a boundary? Because our boundaries change based off of how much sleep we had, the environment, it changes, it's not permanent. And our body knows where those boundary lines are way faster than our brain does. And so one of the things that I do a lot of work with is helping people recognize, like, when their body is telling them, like, what feels good and what doesn't. And basically from there, really kind of work to figure out what they want, what their goal is. So if it's better sex, it's learning how to remove the shame, how to ask for what they want, you know, that trigger. I spent a lot of time trying to working with clients to figure out, do they know what their wants and desires are? Can they communicate their wants and desires? Do they have the capacity to hear no around their wants and desires? And really work on building those capacities. So it just depends. It's a unique approach depending on where people are at and what their goals are, from anything from, you know, building greater levels of intimacy or accepting a kink or desire and then learning how to communicate that with their partner, or you know, working with people that want to get into relationship around dating and flirting and approaching. And basically I focus on removing all the barriers to intimacy. So a standard session kind of depends on what the goal is, but they're all similar in terms of an embodied practice to give people a safe space to really kind of explore and mess up and practice and get better. skills that they need. And an easy example I can give you is, like, when I went through the training, I remember working on, like, having a consent conversation. In my 20s, I was so ill-equipped that I, you know, had it over text because I didn't have the capacity to have it in person. And it's, I had no idea how much shame and miscommunication. And when I was going through the practice, every time I did it, I realized, like, oh, I forgot to ask about, you know, contraceptions or ask about different things. And it's like, by doing, I probably did that exercise 7 or 8 times with different women, and every time I did it, it got easier and easier, and it was just an amazing experience. And I find the easiest way to learn is through doing.
I feel like that's how I learn as well. I do have a question about that. Is it just for couples, or can single individuals also take up a session?
Absolutely. Yeah, I work with couples and individuals. So it's slightly different depending on who I'm working with. So if it's, and I've worked with, you know, couples that want to kind of explore their core rock themes together, or want to work through learning how to have prepared conversations to kind of work through and bring awareness to when they go into automatic defense mechanisms. It's like learning how to ask for what we need in that moment. How do we want to be reassured in the relationship? Because, you know, being in relationship is difficult, and the fact that an intimate partner has access to buttons or can really affect us in ways that, you know, the average person can't. And so it can be very rewarding, but it also can be very challenging. And so helping couples have the skills to communicate what's working, what's not working, and then from there, learn how to rebuild the intimacy through awareness by sharing, or letting their partner kind of learn more about their inner landscape. And so I do that a lot with couples. And then with individuals, I work with them in terms of people that want to explore flirting or their core desire, or explore 4 hottest sex movies and figure out, like, what turns them on, or dating or flirting. So it just kind of depends on what people's individual goals are.
Say, is it just a once a week thing? How frequent do they come to your sessions?
I find either once a week or once every other week, depending on people's schedules. That way there's enough consistency and there's a good enough time in between for them to take what they've learned out and practice it, and then come back and let us kind of keep building on that. So it's like, if someone's goal was to, you know, learn to, you know, maybe get in touch with their erotic desire through erotic breathing, and then maybe learn how to turn on their pilot light, and then, you know, once they've come and gotten really connected to seeing themselves as a erotic being and really kind of reconnected that part of themselves, how do you take that out in the world and really be flirtatious? And so it's a lot of the skills build, and so you need the time to really kind of practice. You also need consistency and accountability, because it's so easy not to do it.
I can see that. I did want to ask about progress. So once they start coming to you and your clients and telling you that you're changing their life and you see the progression, how does that make you feel?
Oh, it's amazing. It's why I do the work, when people learn those skills and it transforms their relationship, and they are able to really accept themselves and their desire and then bring that out into the world, you know, the thing that keeps coming to mind, it's like, you know, changing relationships, changing families really affect communities. So it's amazing and really rewarding work to see someone find new levels of freedom.
In your personal journey, did it take you a while to get to that level as well?
Oh, absolutely. I'm trying to think which story should I tell. It was a tremendous journey. The two stories I'll tell, you know, the first one is I didn't realize how much shame I had around sex. You know, I grew up in a household where we talked about it quite a bit, but somewhere along the way, I didn't, you know, I realized in my 20s I would go and buy condoms and I would feel wrong. And I didn't, and I was like, but I'm doing something that's right for me. And I was like, what is going on? And it wasn't until I read Brené Brown's book that I realized, like, oh, this is what shame feels like. I had no idea. I couldn't connect that last little dot. I just knew I was, like, confused about, I'm doing something I know that's right for me, but it sure didn't feel right. And the other story I'll share is, like, my curiosity. I remember I was in Paris, and I saw a sex shop, and I was, like, curious, and I kind of froze. And then I had the aha moment of, like, oh, but I don't know anyone in this country. And so I was able to, like, sidestep my shame, and off I went, and my curiosity led the way. And, it, you know, it was a very long process to kind of realize later on they had to come back and work through that shame. But it was really interesting to have that reference point to look back on.
Do you feel like a lot of the shame comes from, like, the social constructs of our society?
Absolutely. Yeah. This is, you know, it's a topic that everyone does, everyone knows everyone does, but no one wants to talk about. Yeah. And it's a hard place to be. That's why, which you mentioned earlier about, you know, I would love it if everyone could talk about sex as easy as we talk about our preferences for pancakes and waffles. Because I think it would make for a fantastic conversation and a level of freedom that's amazing that I think people would enjoy that we haven't experienced yet as a whole because of how much shame is kind of just built into our society.
Yes, that's part of the reason why I launched the podcast. And honestly, since launching it, the family and friends that have been supportive of my journey with this, it's been a lot easier even just to joke about, like, sex or something, you know, like, or relationships. It's been a lot more of a lighthearted feel since I just went forward and was like, you know what, I want to talk about things that, because I grew up Catholic, so I want to talk about things that went against Catholicism, you know, the taboo things, you know. And so I think it's awesome that you're trying to do the same thing as well. You know, I think that all of us as individuals should make it more of an easy conversation to have, whether it's sex, desire, pleasure, even how, you know, even asking for consent or condoms, you know, like, it's amazing. Many of us just don't have this talk.
Yeah. And it changes the relationships of, like, of how couples interact by being able to have those conversations, by able to share wants or needs or desires and be supportive, even if it's something they don't want to explore, but just to have the language and the capacity to celebrate a partner's willingness to be open and, you know, really meet them where they're at and be able to set boundaries in a loving way of, like, oh, I love that you shared that with me. I don't know if I'm ready to explore that, but I really appreciate that you shared that with me. Like, something as simple as that is very different and would make people's lives so much easier than, you know, versus if someone's like, oh, why are you into that? It's like, that subtle difference is the difference between someone maybe never sharing that want or desire ever again, and the other one is, like, feeling excited to kind of explore it and feel accepted.
I did want to get into, what are the hottest sex moves? I noticed that on your website, and I was like, I need to ask.
Yeah, so the four hottest sexual movies are romance, which we see a lot in movies and TV. We have passion, which is also we see on TV, that kind of, like, close off passion, I want you now. And then we have, like, dominant and submission, which is kind of like 50 Shades of Grey, BDSM, that kind of air. And then we have, like, the spiritual movie, like Tantra, nature, and so those are kind of like the four, I think of them like the four quadrants of kind of hottest sexual movies, or the kinds of different sex. But the interesting thing about it, if we think about the erotic landscape, is we have our four hottest sexual movies, which is kind of great because it gives us something to talk about, but also gives us a way to realize that there are subcategories in all of those, but it's just an easy way to think about when we're talking with a partner about what kind of sex we have, because so many people, their whole idea, the entire four quadrants is condensed down to missionary position, and that's it. And it's like there's a lot more depth and breadth to sexual experience. Never mind that there's, you know, the core desire that lays on top of that, which is the feeling that we want to have. And, you know, there's another layer called the three dimensions of sex, which is kind of the way that we want to experience sex. So it's like role-playing, it's partner connection, and trance. And so we have these three different distinct categories that are unique for every individual person, and that when two people have sex, they're, whether they realize it or not, they're essentially figuring out, like, where do those areas overlap or not. And before I started down this road, I had no idea that any of that existed.
And so there's been a learning process for you on your journey as well. Like, oh, I didn't know, honestly, about Tantra too much. I just wrapped up a session earlier this morning with somebody who was teaching me about tantric intimacy. So it's cool that it's broken down into different quadrants, honestly, because I think that there's just so much more to sex, like the way you said, more than just missionary, you know, or people see it more in the physicality, I feel like, the positions. Maybe we got to try new positions or bring new people in, and those are the automatic, I feel like, alternatives, you know? But I think that when you break it down like that, there's so much more that can be seen, and so it makes it easier to communicate. Like, you know what, we should try a little bit more of this, because I feel like this is a desire I've been holding back, you know? So I think that's awesome that it's broken down that way. For people to kind of analyze it, honestly. There's not a lot of analysis, I feel.
Well, I mean, also kind of, also by having that level of gradation also makes it very interesting. So it's like, if I really like partner sex or connected sex, it would make sense why, like, cowgirl is amazing because you can see your partner, they're on top of reverse cow, might feel, like, disconnected. And it's like, oh, if I really like eye contact, maybe that might not be the best position for me. And so it's really interesting, once we realize what our core desire is, it's like, what positions, what activities help us really kind of explore what works and what adds to that experience.
That's very awesome. I do want to ask you, do you have any future endeavors that you'd like to share? Or any works or projects that you have going on right now?
Yeah, so right now I'm working on really kind of exploring, working with couples, working to kind of re-spark their relationships by helping couples, like, go on a journey to really figure out what their core desires are, what, you know, what dimensions of sex, what their hottest sexual are, and really kind of remove the shame so that they can communicate with their partner and really kind of grow together while also learning how to have a repair conversation, because, you know, that was the missing key that, you know, my brother and I stumbled into. We didn't realize at the time of, like, how we built intimacy and worked through our differences that I wasn't doing in my 20s with the women I was dating. And it's like, learning that one skill could completely transform relationships.
That's honestly unique. I haven't had any coaches that I've talked to mention that, so I like that.
Yeah, because it makes it different. In fact, it's like, I was, you know, like, growing up with someone, it's like, I know what his core wounds are, and mine are there. We were there when they, you know, when our buttons got installed, or, you know. It's different than the fact that, like, when him and I butt heads, or when touching on a sensitive area, I have the clarity to know, like, why he's getting upset or why I'm getting upset. Whereas, like, in relationships, we didn't grow up, we don't know what our partner's childhood was like, and so it's like and that's the hard part about intimacy, and especially in relationships, is that we're going to touch other people's buttons and not know it because we don't know that they're there because we weren't around when those things got installed growing up. And so it's what makes intimate relationships harder because we want to let someone in. By letting them in, we get to see parts of ourselves that need a little bit more love and attention that might have been, you know, haven't been given or worked on yet. And so it's like learning how to remove those defense mechanisms that keeps us from the intimacy that we want.
I wanted to touch on something. You said that you came across a video on YouTube. I was watching the video. How to Show Desire with Celeste Danielle of the Somatica Institute. So, what were your thoughts initially? Because you said it changed everything for you. So, I'm curious about that.
It did. I watched it. It was on Dr. Doe's YouTube channel. I've been a fan of your channel forever. And then I just saw it, and I was like, the two things that really blew me away was like this, the level of connection that they had, and the fact that, you know, the person they were doing with, Dr. Doe, like, she was blushing. And I was like, those two people aren't even dating. And she's blushing, and like she's like, oh, there's a part in there, it's like, oh, it's so hard not to kiss you. And I'm like, what is going on between these two women? I was like, I'd like a partner to say it's so hard not to kiss you right now.
I was
like more curious and confused, and I was like, I don't know what's happening there, but I'd love to have that experience in my relationships. And it makes perfect sense, like, you know, knowing my strategies, it's like, it's to be that free to really bring that desire and the confidence, and to have someone like really have hold and receive it. Seeing that video opened my eye, like, oh, there's a lot more out there than I'm aware of right now, and I want to learn more.
You know, I think you weren't the only one impacted by that video. I was reading the comments. There were so many other people that were just into it. So I think it was life-changing for a lot of people. I watched that, too. I watched it at work, and I was like, wait. Wait till I'm off of work to watch this. I was like, they're really into this. That's intense eye contact.
Right? But it's such a great example of, like, how easy it is because, yeah, I think it's like, yeah, she was, like, completely connected with her rock energy. She was able to bring the heterotic energy forward in a way that was not too much and not too little, but like the right amount to really feel, make the other person feel wanted and desired, and to build a level of connection.
And so during your sessions, does it ever get to that, like, intense eye gazing between couples or anything like that where you could feel the energy?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because that's part of learning by doing, by, like, removing the things that get in the way of that level of intimacy and learning how to build, you know, embodiment to really feel erotic energy, but then to also share it with a partner or share it with a coach and really feel how to bring the right amount so that you're not spilling too much, but you're finding that right amount of connection and intimacy.
That's beautiful. I do want to ask an important question. Where can you be reached?
Yeah, so the easiest place to reach me is through the website. There's a way to schedule a connection call, and that's the easiest way to reach me to learn more.
I do want to ask you, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up the episode?
Yeah, the biggest thing is that the one thing comes to mind, like, what really started this, even well before seeing that video, because I was looking for classes or wanting something to kind of expand. It's like, you know, I did rock climbing for 15 years, and I at one point had this idea of like, oh, I'm like, is tying someone up a thing? And then, you know, you Google and Shibari, you're like, oh yeah, that's definitely a thing. But it's like, I didn't know how to work through the shame that I had, like, oh, why do I like this? And I was stuck for years of like, oh, I'm like, am I going to sign up for a course or not? Like, am I really going to go somewhere in person and learn this the right way? Like, and I look back on it now, it's like, I wish that I would have known that sex and relationship coaches were out there, because it's like they could have helped me move through that shame in a very short amount of time versus, you know, I just think about the years of stuckness before I just finally just went for it and took class. But looking back on it, I think about all the people I can help that are, you know, whether it's, you know, for me, that's what that was, but, you know, no matter what someone's desire is, just knowing that that is totally exciting and to really help people accept that part of themselves, because we don't really get to choose what turns us on or what we find interested in. And so I love just helping people remove the shame to really kind of just be who they already are.
I think that's beautiful. You mentioned that part about, oh, why do I like this? I feel like a lot of us hold on to that. I do too. Like, why am I watching this? And I think that's a big thing. It ties into the social construct, I feel like, you know. And then with me and growing up Catholic, big thing was just the whole taboo, oh, you know.
Yeah.
So
when that's, I'm like, you had an extra layer.
Yeah, that is. Throw that on top. And then I'm like, why am I still watching this video? And so do any of your clients come and with that type of shame, I guess, do they come and tell you, like, I'm not sure why I like this, but I do? Or then they tell their partner? Yes. Is that, like, I think that's a big thing. Like, just the shame, you know, honestly. How to remove that, I think it is. I think it's awesome that you're going through the challenges of that, because we have so much embedded already, you know, like within us from what we pick up from, whether it be religion or I don't know, even your family influences, you know. And so that really resonated with me. Why do I like this? So I was just curious, like, how many others come to you like that?
Oh, a lot. And it's those are the people I love working with, whether it's cross-dressing, whether it's rope or BDSM or dominance or, like, really anything. Like I read an article the other day about, you know, a kink where, like, wearing lingerie and taking a bath while wearing lingerie. I'm like, didn't know that was a thing, but it's like the depth and breadth of things that are out there are amazing. And just like, you know, all humans are different, what we like is different, and there's plenty of overlap. And so it's like just normalizing the differences. And one of the easiest places that I like to normalize the differences is something as simple as spanking. Like, some people like it really, really hard. And some people like it really, really soft, and that feels super hard for them. And all of that is very normal. But it's like, by not talking about it, by not having podcasts like this, it's easy not to know what it's supposed to be, because we're not, you don't talk about it. And it's by not talking about it is what helps the shame grow. And by talking about it with someone that really can be a cheerleader and supporting, completely changes the way that we can relate to those parts of ourselves and really integrate them.
With your journey, how did your friends and family react when you told them you wanted to be a sex and relationship coach? I thought I was done, but I think I have some more questions.
No, it's totally fine. I saw it, I'm like, I signed. Luckily, I've always been like this. Like, for me, when I see a class or something, like when it's like really clear inside, like, oh, I'm going to do that, like it's very crystal clear for me. So it's like I signed up for it ahead of time, and then I happened to mention to my mom, and she thought it was a great idea. Because, like, growing up, that was instilled in our household of, like, great, if you're going to learn something new, take the class, learn it the right way. And so, you know, when I told her I was taking this class, you know, she was very supportive. Which was amazing. Everyone gets that kind of support, but I was definitely glad that I did. And that's part of the reason why I was able to eventually take, you know, a Shibari class, was it's like, oh, after doing some Googling, I realized, like, oh, I could look at books, but I was like, because of the element of risk, I was like, no, I really want to take a class. And so, and it was an amazing experience, but I took the long way because I had to unpack a lot of shame, but I'm once I was there, I met some of those amazing people, and it was an amazing experience.
Awesome.
It just normalized the whole thing. And so, luckily, I'm blessed with having curiosity, and, you know, it was clear to do it. It just took me a while to take action, and I'm glad I did, because I'm sure that that experience is what kind of led me to realize, like, oh, there's more for me to learn. And then once I saw that video on YouTube, I was like, oh, yeah, that's perfect, because their class is going to teach me to be more myself, whereas everything else that I was finding was more focused on pickup game and basically, from my perspective, pretending to be something I'm not. I was like, I don't want that. I want to be more myself.
Once you embraced yourself and what you were into, did it make your relationships and sex life better?
Oh, absolutely. And easier, because it's like this quote I came across, oh, I forget who says it, but it's like, the sooner we let people see who we are, the sooner they can decide if they want to stay or go. And it's like, I think about that a lot. It's like, it's very easy to present a version of ourselves that we know someone will like. It's something very different to be ourselves and be fully accepted. And it's like, I would love for people to find the places where they feel belong versus trying to fit in.
I love that. I think we all need to do more of that, honestly. There's just so much influence on social media. Not just for women, but, you know, they have, like, women influencers, like, this is the body shape, this is, you know, and then it's not just for women, though, I think men, too, there's a lot that we were told we should live up to, instead of just seeing the beauty within ourselves, honestly.
Yeah, exactly, that's a great point. There's so many places where we're told, again, it goes back to shame, it goes back to, you know, being influenced. And the thing I love about this work is, like, giving people a self, like, a really kind of, to feel safe in their bodies, to really know what they like, and then to build the courage and the confidence to set boundaries and to really be themselves.
That is beautiful.
And, yeah, it's like, I forget what book I read, but it's like, not every woman has earned the right to hear our stories, but it's like, in my mind, it's like, great, let me go find the people that I want to tell my story or earn the right to hear my stories.
I love that. I love that. Thank you again for taking the time to come onto my show. Yeah, that's an awesome way to end the episode. I really enjoyed this conversation with you, and I wish you the best with your future endeavors as well. Again, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in today for another special edition of Hush. You can find us on thehushpodcast.com, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Podbean, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Red Dragons Radio, any Alexa-enabled devices, and all other major platforms. Also, make sure to visit me on Instagram and Twitter at HushPodcast69.